This is a HeadGum Podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Picture this. You're a top-ranked high school quarterback, and you are drowning in it. You are getting all the gals. Everybody loves you. Well, most people love you. And to make matters even more insane for you, you get to go on a television show. They come to your house and they offer you a television show about high school quarterbacks.
Hi, I'm LeBron James. I'm going to executive produce this show.
LeBron, what are you doing in my house, man? I'm trying to have dinner.
I want to make you...
I'm a top high school quarterback, LeBron.
Spencer. Is that LeBron James at our door again?
Yeah, it is.
Mr. Radler, I'm here to court your son for my TV show.
It's dinner time, sir.
We got to eat our spaghetti and drink milk with it. I'm a high school quarterback, LeBron James. LeBron, is it?
Yeah, it's LeBron.
What do you want?
You know who would never show up at our house during dinner? Michael Jordan.
Or Kobe.
I'm just going to say it.
Kobe would never show up at our house.
Probably not even Magic.
I'm here on my knees begging your child to come and be on my show. It's about...
I'm also on my knees, a high school student for a different reason.
Ah, it's dinner time and she's also gobbling something.
I've heard you're...
Feel free to come and blow my son anytime, but not during dinner.
Spencer, I am begging you to be on my show. It's about highly recruited high school quarterbacks that are going to make it in big college programs and maybe go on to the pros. We want to feature you, my man.
Oh, I'm going to the pros. Don't even say it like that. I'm going to the pros. I'm going to be a zero draft pick. I'm going to be Roger Goodell. I'm going to be the commissioner on draft day.
That's right. Player commissioner.
Yeah. Don't talk to me like that, LeBron.
Sorry,
can I call you LeBum?
You can if you'll be on the show.
Throw a snake at
him. I need this.
Throw a rattler at him. We keep rattlers in this house.
It's my dad's business. Rattlers.
You have about 8 minutes. Make them count.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm sweating real bad. Look, I need this. I'm not doing so good money-wise.
All right, LeBron. I guess I'll come on your show, but it better not. I'm going to have my real personality on the show, and it better not affect me in any negative way.
Sure, I'm begging you, but you don't get Final Cut.
I don't get Final Cut. I don't get editing privileges.
What about merch?
Merch? Oh, yeah.
In the Rattler household, we get 50% of merch.
You got it.
What channel is
this? The Nicholson Batman deal.
Yep, that's exactly the deal we're talking about. What channel is it on?
Netflix.
Netflix?
Whoa.
What Netflix. Year is this? 2018?
Somewhere around there.
All right, yeah, Netflix.
Is it going to
cool.
be on after BoJack?
It's going to be right on after BoJack.
We love BoJack.
You got a BoJack lead
in this household.
And let me ask you something, LeBron. How much money are y'all going to pay Monique for a stand-up special?
Yeah, great question.
Because I'm assuming you work at Netflix. I'm not really familiar with who you are.
In the Rattler household, we care about equity of stand-up payments across gender and race.
Because I know you're going to give Chris Rock $50 million. So Monique's got to be somewhere in there.
About $100,000.
All right, fair enough.
Close enough, yeah.
Let me know when I need to prepare. This is my senior season, and I am a top quarterback. Have I mentioned that?
Yeah.
So top that I don't know who you are.
That's why I'm here. I'm going to be directing you. Well, I'll be at practice tomorrow.
All right, great. And so you go to that practice, and you really show yourself and your true colors in the whole season of this show. And then you go on to college at University of Oklahoma, and then you transfer to South Carolina because the name is Gamecock. And that's what they called you in high school, the Gamecock. And then the NFL draft comes, and six quarterbacks go in the first two rounds or one
first round, first 12 picks.
First 12 picks. So you got it. Well, you know, okay, let's think about this for a second. All right, listen. I know I wasn't going to go ahead of Caleb Williams. He paints his nails, and they're pushing that agenda this year. The NFL is really pushing that agenda.
It's the agenda.
They're really
pushing it. It was the agenda. Exactly. I'm your agent, Spencer. Don't worry about that. That's just that liberal agenda.
That's all they're pushing.
It's not a reflection on you and your abilities at all. Great. You are QB1.
Okay. All right, number two. Wait a minute.
Jaden Daniels.
They're pushing that agenda. That's all that BLM shit.
Drake May.
They're pushing that agenda, that conservative bullshit agenda.
JJ McCarthy. You lean
too far one way, you got to make up for it the other way. Yeah.
Wait, you skipped one.
JJ McCarthy.
Didn't he go after?
Yeah, after Drake May.
Oh, and then is okay. JJ McCarthy.
No. Michael Penix.
Michael Penix Jr.
Of course, Michael Penix.
That's his name.
The original agenda. The original one, the Caleb Williams agenda. That one's back.
We swung back the other way.
And my apologies for messing up before, but now JJ McCarthy.
What agenda is this? It's an agenda. That Michigan football agenda.
They're trying to get the blue state shit.
That's what it is.
It's a swing state.
It's an election year.
Bo Nix.
What the fuck?
That dude was 37 years old.
Dozens of other non-quarterbacks.
It's been about 112 picks now since the last quarterback.
This other position agenda. All right. Finally. All right. Who's up next? At pick 137, I think. 150.
Spencer, the Gamecock Rattler.
Finally. To what team?
The New Orleans Saints.
What? The best team in the NFL?
Yeah.
The greatest franchise in the history of the league? The best uniforms?
They do have the best uniforms.
I would say so myself. I guess that LeBron James show did affect me. And from now on, I will never support LeBron James.
But it got you here to this franchise. This was the road it was always supposed to be.
You're fired.
Oh, no. Why? I represent Monique. I need these commissions.
Because it's Monique Day.
Destined to be Monique Day the whole time. Never in doubt.
Yeah, you know, I threw you for a loop at the end.
I threw you because it's Gamecock Day.
I was gonna say that.
But then something better presented itself.
Yeah. And that's what improv's all about.
It's Gamecock/Monique Day. Uh-oh. That's gonna get us in trouble.
I don't think it will.
Nah. She might not listen.
Welcome back to Foosball, Scott.
Maybe I don't need to be dressed down by Monique.
she'll probably take a week off from listening, maybe.
Are you confused by that intro?
I caught up to it. Yeah. I tried. You said do something, so I tried, but then I was like, I did a wrong thing.
Yeah, you heard the best line in the whole thing.
It was perfect.
The sniper. We're joined by a sniper.
But I was like, was that a real pick this year?
Spencer Rattler?
Yeah, it was, right? I started to catch up.
He fell very far.
So I took that.
In a draft where quarterbacks were valued more than they've ever been before,
right.
many would argue to an insane degree, he fell very far.
It was a wild draft.
I know it bodes poorly for me that I did. It took me a second to pick up on that, but I had my kids this weekend and
totally fair.
Take them to the draft. Kids love watching the NFL.
Yeah, fly them out to Detroit.
That's true.
You can get some Detroit style pizza.
Famously, 7-year-old girls.
Yeah. 7-year-old girls love the draft.
You can hear a local band sing "Celebrate Good Times" by Kool & the Gang.
It's pretty cool.
Party in the USA. That playlist doesn't change. Like,
oh no,
if you ever can hear that music that band is over there playing, it's always like, ooh, I want the time of my life. And, but they're playing it live.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they're always wrapping up Happy by Pharrell. Yeah.
Greg, introduce our guest.
We are joined. You may have already heard a strange voice, guys. That voice is Rechna Frogbaum.
Hello.
Comedy writer extraordinaire, former host of a great sports podcast called Hall of Shame on our rival podcasting network, who we can't legally mention their name of, but let's just say they're a little crooked. I went too far and I feel like it's going to be obvious.
You know, we have a connection with that show.
Hall of Shame?
Yes.
Rachel?
Yes, but I auditioned 3 times to be that seat. With Rachel.
So I also auditioned 3 times.
Yeah.
This is wild.
It was. Whoa. It must have came down to us.
I think I was told it came down to me and someone else.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that.
This is exclusive.
No. It's going to get dicey.
Yeah. They're pushing that agenda.
It must totally be.
And today
we
are pushing that agenda too, because you are making history. And not to any fault of our own.
Yeah.
Definitely not our fault.
Not our fault, the people who booked the guests. But you are the first woman on the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I'm honored.
Ring the alarm, Kevin. Kevin, insert here just Beyonce.
I really have
the
to...
alarm. Just one time.
No, yeah, a lot of it was we were waiting for some legal stuff that Kevin had going on to wrap up. And he couldn't really be in the room with any women.
Sure. Yeah.
But once he got cleared, he lost his spot in the league, then he went over and played in China and then played a little bit in Mexico. But now he's back because everything's cleared up.
Great. Yeah. And I can be here.
Yes.
And you can be
that's
here.
That's excellent.
And it was great news for his wedding, too.
We probably should have told you about this before we asked.
it's better I didn't know. Yeah. I like finding out in the moment.
Yeah, you can't tell a prospective guest that you've never been with a woman. It's kind of a turn off. You kind of just have to apologize once it's happening. Yeah.
I like to, whenever I'm on a podcast, I just want to know that everyone's not a virgin. Yeah. That's sort of.
All right. So we've never had this conversation, boys.
You know, in our zone of friends, it is very hard to find women who are football fans. It's hard to find men who are football fans amongst these comedy nerds.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah, we have a lot of people on who don't. Well, not a lot of people. We've had a few people who are like barely followers.
Struggling. Yeah.
And they use the excuse like, oh, you know, once they started kneeling, I was out.
Yeah, we have a lot of anti-Kaepernick people on.
Oh, then I will fit right in.
But you are here to talk about all things football with us, but you do have an allegiance to a specific team.
I do. I'm a giant, diehard Cleveland Browns fan.
Wow. All right.
And all right.
That is tough.
I grew up
these days.
As I've mentioned, I did grow up in Ohio. A lot of my friends and family are Browns fans. It's a tough life.
It's a tough life. My dad, I think the way he's from India, or he's from Africa, actually, but Indian. And I think the way he assimilated when he moved to Cleveland was through sports, because sports is pretty universal. And Cleveland Browns, like, it's the first team. We then grew up also Indians/Guardians fans and Cavs fans, but Browns is like, all there is in the winter.
It's more of a football city than it is other stuff.
Especially then, like coming off the Cardiac Kids and like Bernie Kosar in the 80s, it was like such a, first and foremost, a football town.
I think all the towns around there.
The Steel Belt.
Pittsburgh is definitely a football first town. I think Detroit, you know, has some fun with a lot of their teams, but I think most of those fans would give up, would go 0-162 for the Tigers, 0-82 for the Pistons.
Which they almost did, the Pistons.
The Pistons almost hit that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the towns around the Midwest, if they are either football first towns or would be if their team was any good.
Yeah.
That's what I've been trying to articulate.
I think so. Yeah.
So you start watching the Browns before they go away.
Yeah. So like the team that like I most watched, it was like Bernie Kosar, Webster Slaughter.
Webster Slaughter.
2 weeks in a row with a Webster Slaughter.
Webster Slaughter's been coming up a lot lately.
Or 2 out of 3 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, it was like a solid team, like Kevin Mack.
Ooh, see? You've stumped on it.
Yeah.
You've stumped the foosball.
But I'm a little older than the foosballers, so that's why. So it was a little, and then when they left, it was like dark. And I think that actually did allow people to get, I mean, it's not like people also weren't Cavs and Indians, Guardians fans, but Browns is first and foremost. But then they left us.
Art Modell was a hated person.
Hated
to this day.
Man. Yeah.
It was what, 3-4 years?
Yeah.
The Browns? In like the mid-90s.
And this is the real, we were good. We were peaking, and truly he took them to Baltimore, and the next year they won the Super Bowl. Yeah. That was rough. That was some rough shit.
It was a weird era of,
because that was Belichick
coaching. Yeah. New teams were winning titles back then.
Yeah.
The Marlins and Diamondbacks both won pretty immediately in the first 10 years. The Marlins had two.
Now the Marlins also beat the Indians in the Game 7 when we had like our best closer. Best closer in football.
Mesa, yeah.
Was sad.
Wait, okay. Did Modell have anything to do with moving the Baltimore Colts to Indianapolis too?
Oh, great. I don't think so.
Maybe. He's probably beloved in Baltimore.
Yeah.
It was also like the whole middle of the night thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did Cleveland so dirty.
Yeah.
Y'all knew that it was going to be the last year.
It was very last minute that it was the last year.
I remember it being very shocking.
Yes, yes. It happened before then we had one more season in Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yes. I remember the images of like the last game at the Browns.
Yes.
Stadium.
We had a whole season, I feel like, knowing. Yeah.
People were like ripping up seats and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Cleveland fans are classy like that.
Also, here's another thing I'll say about the history of the Browns, which is that they're known as one of these like winless sort of franchises, but it's kind of not completely their fault that the Super Bowl era is how we define that. Because the Browns won a ton of championships.
They won two back to back right before the first NFL Super Bowl.
So like, if Lamar Hunt's kid had been playing with a Super Bowl or whatever a few years earlier, and had that idea in 1963 instead of 67 or whatever, the Browns
would have a couple of rings.
Yeah, would have a couple
of
rings.
It would be one of the storied franchises.
They'd be
think.
Like, you know, the Packers won the first two, and instead it would be like the Browns won the first two, and Otto Graham would be Bart Starr or whatever.
That's true.
Changes everything, yeah.
I'm writing a Man in the High Castle style alternative history.
Alternate
show.
History. By the way, the alternate history of Cleveland, if that was moved up, it's a different town.
You think?
The vibes are different.
When the Cavs won in 2016, I feel like Cleveland fans are like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm so excited, but immediately, like, but this is not my brand.
Yeah.
And then.
But don't worry, we haven't won since.
LeBron left. So in this movie, LeBron would stay.
I think so.
You would have never left.
Like Jordan?
In this movie, Cleveland's such, like, an awesome town. It's New York. Like, it's such an awesome town to live in that nobody wants
to
leave.
Yeah, they've got, like, flying cars. Like, technology's advanced a ton.
Silicon Valley is now in the Ohio Valley.
But they stopped producing creatives because there's not enough strife. So, like, you never move to Hollywood. Kid Cudi becomes a barber or something.
Yeah, Drew Carey doing nothing.
Drew Carey becomes a barber. There's a rich barbery culture.
Kid Cudi spells his name K-I-D-C-U-T-T-Y.
Oh, yes. Oh. That's probably subconsciously. Why I said Kid Cudi.
So I like Cleveland. My college roommate, shout out to Jamal Marshall, is from Cleveland.
Okay. Where are you from?
Mississippi originally.
Okay.
And I grew up here in LA.
Okay.
But then played some college hoops in Ohio. Cleveland.
Yeah.
That was in Cleveland?
No. Why did I say that? In Wilberforce, Ohio.
Okay.
Which is down by Dayton.
Yeah. Okay.
You ever heard of Xenia? Where the 1974 earthquake? Tornado was? I'm tripping.
Xenia.
God, this Coke Zero.
You're cut off, bud.
Yeah, I gotta stop. It's down by Xenia. You seen Gummo?
Yeah.
Is that where Gummo takes place?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Gummo I can't get through it.
Some dark shit. I was like, oh, no.
It's like what happened. That town was weird. But they had this. They're known for like having this big tornado in 1974. Yeah. I went to college a little bit outside of that, in the middle of a cornfield.
Oh,
and my roommate was from Cleveland. That's why I grew to hate Ohio State fans.
Sure.
Are you Ohio State?
I am, but yeah. I understand. First of all, the fact that it's the Ohio State is so annoying, right?
I think that's kind of tight.
Okay. They were the first ones to do it. Yeah. So.
They get to keep it.
They get to keep it. Everyone was doing it at the draft. Anytime like an old player would come out to introduce, they'd be like,
the Ohio
State. 50th pick of the 2024 NFL draft. The Jacksonville Jaguars select. Yeah.
That's not cool.
Well, I just remember when they would, I mean, they still do it, I guess, on like Monday Night Football.
The Ohio State
guys would always like really hit the D.
That's why I thought you might be annoyed by it.
No.
I feel like it's a thing people have told me is annoying to them.
You know what was annoying to me? That I hadn't really interacted with their fans before I went to college.
Sure.
Before that, of course, the what game did they win that on a, was it the Miami?
Miami. Yeah. Overtime.
I was like, no, done with this team. Cause I was all about that. I was all about
the
U.
I was at that game.
All about the
Whoa,
U.
You were? Holy
that's
shit.
That's a big one. Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Wild. Yeah. I went with a friend who was a Miami, University of Miami fan.
A cane.
Yeah. I loved, cause I loved them from NCAA 2003.
Sure.
They were fun, man.
They were fun.
That team was, did you watch that 30 for 30?
Oh my God.
That's
probably my most watched one.
That one is so good.
It's still burned into my brain about like where I grew up, you were either blood, a Crip, or a cane.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one of the
yeah,
coolest cool. lines in yeah. a 30 yeah. for 30. That game had the one, still the crazy play that I think about all the time, where Craig Renzel throws a ball, gets picked off by Sean Taylor, rest in peace, and he's running it back, and Maurice Claret hits him and knocks the ball out. It also had, I believe, the Willis McGahee knee injury, which
it
is
horrendous. Yeah.
And then will always like set me down that YouTube rabbit hole of like Joe Theismann, Marshawn Lattimore, of all the like horrible new knee
can't
injuries.
Get enough. Once you see one,
I got to get all the way up.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Until Nick Chubb, I don't like that one.
That was
on my fantasy team. That was the one where they're like, we're not even going to show this on TV.
Yeah, it was bad. That was
the one where you were like, I thought we might. No.
Y'all were good this year. It was a good year for the Cleveland.
Was it fun? Like, was it fun?
It was so fun. Yeah. I have to admit. And because Deshaun was injured, you didn't even have like a.
You had to root for him.
You didn't. Yeah. You didn't have like that struggle of, am I going to root for this rapist?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to call him that? That's not fair.
He technically didn't rape anybody, but it was
assault,
predator. We are big time defenders here.
Yeah, no. And also, I don't know if he did or didn't.
As soon as I said it, I was like, that's not fair.
Well, I remember as a Steelers fan, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And the funny thing for us was like,
Roethlisberger.
The funny thing for us was like, what? Then finally, when Roethlisberger, the one time that we were good during the Roethlisberger era and it wasn't him at quarterback. It was Michael Vick, which is obviously much better than Ben Roethlisberger, but it was kind of funny that was like the substitute of like, oh yeah, the guy who did go to prison for a thing.
Well, we have a thing like that now too.
Oh, who's
with
that?
Our two quarterbacks.
Oh, because Flacco cooks cats.
No.
Whoa, hold on.
Is Flacco allegedly?
Is he a closet elf?
He's a cat cooker. He's an elf guy.
No, with who?
Because of oh my gosh, you guys.
Brissette?
You just texted me about him, and my brain is already broken.
Oh no, Watson! He went
not Deshaun Watson, but who did we? Who's the quarterback from Florida?
James Winston.
No, yes, it's not.
Wait, is he on the Browns now?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Oh right. Yeah.
Yes,
and
sorry.
He had.
I was like, am I having a stroke? Nothing. No.
James Winston had an accusation too,
and I was like, guys, is this what we're doing?
He ain't do it.
Yeah, you got to believe one of them's in.
I would just love to have like zero accusations.
Yeah. I know. And then Watson went to Saudi Arabia and hung out with the.
Yes, that's what you texted me up. In my brain, I conflated that with Jameis Winston because I had also just read about him.
No, but when.
Just a couple of crab legs. Who cares?
Yeah, that's what everybody's mad about. He stole crab legs. Those should be free.
That's true.
Everything in the ocean should be free.
Yeah.
Didn't Cam Newton get kicked out of Florida for stealing a laptop?
Yeah. And selling it.
And then one of
they should have paid those athletes.
Yeah.
I don't find that bad. It's the assault stuff I find bad.
Yeah, that's a little
stealing a laptop.
Who cares?
We can look into that, James, because I feel like it was a little bit of
maybe that one.
That one was a little bit shaky.
Okay,
I think.
I mean,
he was still the number one pick, and we already knew what happened. So.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
it was certainly wasn't 60 women or whatever.
No, it wasn't. humping.
I also loved Baker.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime we talk about the particulars,
we have to mention the fact that he allegedly ejaculated while making no physical contact.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he just kind of thrust it up in the air, just like held it, and that was enough.
When I heard it, I said, "What?"
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Could never, never happen to me.
So, what is your history? What do you remember? Like your first game you went to?
Yeah, I mean, I went. It was like 40 degrees in November.
Damn.
And it was cool. It was like I remember watching, the Dog Pound and being like, oh, I want to be there, but I'm too scared.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make it. But it was so
awesome. It was
awesome.
An intense thing.
Going with my dad. Yeah. I feel like I'm glad my first game was freezing because that's like to me what it
more
is.
More an experience. Yeah. Were you like already kind of into it before your first game? So
yes.
You were like looking forward to
yes.
it? Or was that the thing that got you hooked?
No.
So you were already into
it. I was already into it. It's okay. I feel like in the time I grew up in Cleveland, like I have girlfriends who are like, I'm not a huge football fan and are bigger football fans than like half the dudes I meet here.
Oh, really?
Or not to be gendered.
It is.
Like,
no.
It's so huge that it's like in your, like my mom doesn't care and yet she knows who's won and who, like it's just in the air.
What I try to tell people, yeah. I was like, my mom and like aunts and some of my cousins couldn't give a shit about football, but they know if Ohio State won that week. Like they have probably watched.
They know what a first
seven...
down is. They know like they know the rules. Like they know what things are worth.
A 1,000%. I know like people in Kansas City, like even just like the most like alternative theatery people, like just like live at fringe festivals year round. Like know everything that's like it's like oh yeah no the, the Chiefs went 11-6 but they managed to go win the Super Bowl from the 3-seed.
I was talking about the guy
like,
who
oh
does...
Christian Okoye the Nigerian Nightmare. I know him.
The guy
was
who
a
does,
Chiefs season
does Reiki for my dog was saying they got to give Pacheco more touches in the first quarter. Establish a physical run game early on.
We so do? It's like it's just like I feel like you're just a fan by osmosis.
Yeah,
that's tight. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I respect
it's cultural.
That. I respect that. I feel like that's what the Saints do. And, you know, especially when a team, like, that's what taught me to root for the underdog.
Yeah.
Like, it taught me to be like, it's why I came here and became a Clipper fan. Like, I technically have been here long enough to be a Laker fan and not, nobody called me a bandwagon or anything like that.
Right.
But I watched all of Kobe's championships. Like I was here to watch all, but I wanted to root for the other guys. I'm like, this is what builds a culture.
That's it. Because Lakers fans, like, they're not good, and then they're like, bye, I gotta go surf.
I gotta go do other things.
I can
things.
Do anything. Yeah. I can go to the mountains.
Probably gonna go to the World Series this year with the Dodgers. I could just do that.
I
could jump on the Clippers. My kids, their dad grew up in Southern California, so is a lifelong Lakers fan, and they are, and I feel like you have to be a Browns fan then.
That's the payoff. That's a trade.
And they're like, okay.
But you got to experience some hardship in sports. You have to.
And my son was like, why would I root for teams that lose all the time? And I was like,
because when they win, at some point,
I'm amazing.
It builds character.
Yeah.
Also, and I don't like the people who are, because I think we talked about this in a group chat before, Greg, of like, we're talking about UCLA, and you were saying when UCLA was the underdog
against Gonzaga,
and you were like, UCLA can't be an underdog because they got too much. And it's just like, I met Laker fans that moved here in 2014.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, man, I just started rooting for the Lakers, man. They were the underdog at that time. I go, I don't care if they went 0-82.
Yankees can't be underdogs.
Yeah. There are certain franchises that can't be underdogs.
Like, it was like Gonzaga was a one
Cowboys
seed.
Can't be underdogs.
Nope.
Never.
And UCLA was like an 8. But I'm like, UCLA has the most titles of any school, and Gonzaga's like 3,000 Jesuit kids in the woods in Washington. Like, they're the underdog.
Forever the underdog in that matchup.
But you did get, the city did get, what I think is one of the best and coolest championships of my lifetime. The 2016 ring for the Cavs was like, I feel like if you'd have scripted that LeBron loses and goes away and then comes back.
And then we're down 3-1 to the best team in the league.
One of the biggest
dynasties. Best teams in history.
Yeah, arguably. Yeah, truly, by regular season record, the best team in history.
Right.
That was awesome.
On for me, but I think for a lot of people, on Father's Day. So my dad died before any of the teams won. And so, like, my sister and I were watching. And it was so emotional because they won Game 7 on Father's Day.
Oh, that's wow.
Pretty cool.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I just remember pretty I was house-sitting cool. for someone in Brentwood who had, like, a pool and a little basketball court. It was awesome. And, like, I was so hyped up by the Kyrie shot and the unbelievable, like, that Kevin Love just locked up Curry on the perimeter at the end.
Just went out there and peed in the pool.
I just had to go out there and piss in that pool.
Turn the whole thing purple because they had that solution in it.
I'm doing, like, 360 between the leg piss.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
To bring it back to football, okay. Actually, I did notice maybe a potential kind of like new teammates, not really maybe enjoying each other. I saw a couple of interviews where they were talking to both Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a little Rome Odunze being like,
Yeah. Oh, wasn't the whole thing that they wound up on the same plane and everyone was like, they're on the same plane to Detroit, they're buddies already, but oh no, what, so you think Odunze's not into it, huh?
I don't know if he's like, yeah.
Caleb does feel like he comes on a little strong.
Wasn't he also, his dad is like a stage dad, basically.
Is Caleb Williams?
Or wasn't his dad like going out saying like he won't play for certain, if like this team gets the number one pick, we'll just go back to USC.
That is what you get for naming your kid Caleb. That's like setting up, feels like a...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It feels like a dad.
The name of a stage dad.
The name a stage dad would give his son.
This is my son, Caleb.
Yeah. Shots fired at biblical fathers.
I know, yeah. You should name him Meshach.
Enoch. These are my sons, Enoch and Enosh.
Yeah.
You know, always cracks me up. You got Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, right? You know the next person in the Bible's name? Cain and Abel kill each other or whatever. They have another son, Seth.
Seth.
Oh. And then
a guy?
Not another Seth until like 1970.
Not another Seth until Seth Green.
Yeah, and then suddenly it's roaring back. But when I read the Bible, I was like, what? That's crazy.
Seth is
the fifth person on earth.
Also, you read the Bible. Like, congrats.
I was in church a lot, and you got to kill time.
You read the full Bible?
No. But I got to Seth.
Just enough to get to Seth.
I got to the fifth. The beginning is a lot of just naming people. And like of the first like 10
like
people.
Like the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Or like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But like of the first 10 people, like two of them are Enoch and one is Enosh. Yeah. They were really struggling to come up with names. This is a football podcast.
This is a football podcast.
Okay. Let's talk some draft.
Talk draft.
Should we talk draft or should we do Mount Rushmore.
Oh, let's do the Mount Rushmore real quick.
What's that?
I didn't tell you about this.
Okay.
But we usually try to talk about for your team who would be on the Mount Rushmore of your team. So we might try and guess some people, and then we'll let you give the definitive answer.
And is this
whole era
of all time?
All time.
All time players.
And how many, like, because four?
Four. Four. Okay. Mount Rushmore. But four. Then we do what we call the Chernobyl Mount Rushmore, where it grows a couple extra heads.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though that's more of a Three Mile Island thing than a Chernobyl thing, but
that's
whatever.
Okay. All right.
So we'll go first.
There's one obvious clear cut.
Spurgeon win.
Cleo Lemon.
The guy that's got the jersey with all the quarterback last names on
he
it.
He is actually on Mount Rushmore for sure. That guy rules. No, Jim Brown is
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
And,
you got that right.
Otto Graham, you say?
He was like the quarterback of those days, right? But I don't.
Yeah.
He doesn't really stick in people's mind. Because then you have Kozar.
Sticks in my craw more than anything.
I think you have Kozar.
Kozar?
Kozar. I don't know if he's in my Mount Rushmore.
Miles Garrett?
Maybe? I think Miles Garrett is.
Yes, Miles Garrett is.
Miles Garrett. I can't
And now, is it Cleveland players? We're Cleveland specific, we're saying.
Browns.
It's Cleveland Browns.
Browns okay. guys.
So I think of anyone since they came back, the only other person who I think would be close to Miles would be
Joe Thomas.
Or Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas is definitely.
Yeah.
What about, what's my man? Well, I guess he didn't play long enough. Josh Gordon.
Mm.
No, not Josh Gordon.
Josh Groban.
The quarterback / receiver. Not
Cribs.
Prior.
Cribs.
Yeah, Cribs.
Cribs.
Yeah,
he was. I loved him if he had been around more. He was
a quarterback for Kent State too, so he was like a local kid. Weirdly, there's a weird like quarterback Kent State quarterback to wide receiver pipeline too, because Julian Edelman played quarterback at Kent State. Weirdly,
oh, really?
Too. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Cribs, I think for like how much fans liked him would probably, if you were just going like whose vibes did we like the most, Cribs would probably be on.
He was so good.
He was fun to watch.
There was a guy called Clay Matthews back in the day.
Clay Matthews
80s.
Sr.
Oh, yeah.
And he owned like a bunch of car dealerships, but it was also this awesome offensive lineman.
Oh, that reminded me. I meant to say when you talked about the Ohio State-Miami game and there was the pass interference call in the end zone, there's a bar in Columbus I remember going to years later, and the bathroom wall in the bar is just giant screen printed photo of him, like, and the defender's touching him, the ball's not there yet. Like, that's how much that still sticks to those. And they won the game. Like, they won, but like, people talked about that so much that some bar was like, I'm printing this up and putting it on.
Well, let me ask you, so in Columbus, they're more Browns fans than they are Cincinnati, because Cincinnati's right there.
Like, no, Cleveland's it's hot. Pretty equidistant.
Who owns Ohio?
Ohio State
Cleveland.
Football.
Ohio State football.
But if
I
but,
think.
Browns but, over Bengals.
Okay.
Browns
yeah, pro,
have
pro.
More fans than Bengals.
Yeah. Browns over Bengals by a mile. Yeah, I would say, like, I know the Bengals were fun and there was, like, Icky Woods and then, like, recent Bengals. But, like, Browns own Ohio.
Gotcha.
I think.
I would say so. Yeah. I would say. But, like.
Like, Kentucky owns the Bengals.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Shots fired at both.
I know, but don't tell her.
She doesn't listen. I think. The Browns probably, because I grew up slightly closer to Cleveland, I guess, but there were definitely more Browns than Bengals fans. I do have one uncle who, bizarrely enough, is a Browns and Reds fan, and I never really asked him how it happened.
That's
but I guess
interesting.
You grew up in
but
the 70s, you're going to be a Reds fan.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. I would say that's more equal.
Yeah.
But Browns, like all my cousins in Columbus, which is truly in the middle, are Browns.
Like, I don't know a single Cleveland baseball player between like Larry Doby and Jim Tomey. Like, that's kind of a lost era of Cleveland baseball.
Sure.
Like, who was on the Indians in the 70s?
Nobody knows.
Cool logo, though. That C. That's like,
yeah.
I thought you were going for something.
Yeah.
I thought you were going
I thought you were doing a Chief Wahoo situation. Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Can I?
I think that one's cool.
I'll admit to a shameful thing. When I first lived in LA, so this is like 2010, my roommates and I would have like Secret Santa. And I got my roommate, who's a big, big Cleveland baseball fan. And I got him this and didn't really think much of it, but I look back and like, tough. It was like a scarf or like a tapestry thing that you would hang that had like the evolution of their logo over the years. So it started in a bad place. I also got burned.
It's like full-bodied kind of?
No.
It's like a Native American's blood splatter.
Yeah.
He's got a beverage. No. But I also got burned by a Braves. I bought a Braves throwback, like a powder blue, like Hank Aaron powder blue Braves throwback. Awesome. I bought it online. And it's, and I, you know, I like try not to have anything with even like the tomahawk or obviously any of the old shit. But it came and there was a patch on the shoulder that had the screaming sack. I was like, you gotta be shitting me. Oh, no. I didn't even think to check the shoulder. And so I'm like going up to the Braves Dodgers playoff game with one sleeve rolled up like I'm keeping my cigarettes in prison. I feel like I'm signaling something to someone in Chavez Ravine that I don't know what. But yeah, I've been burned. All right. That's so tough. Mount Rushmore, you give us yours.
Yeah.
I would say
Spurgeon win.
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown with a bullet.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I know this is Ernest Biner. I know we have
I loved him. But he fumbled.
He did have the fumble, but I loved him and it wasn't fair. All that shit.
So you're speaking for all the Browns fans with this. So
I know. Don't do that. They'll all hate me.
So would they not? Yeah. You think majority would say no
would
to Biner?
Would say no.
Okay. So
I think no. Okay. Maybe I'll.
But maybe that's what you're trying to teach your son, right? Is that like,
yeah,
this is building character. We're embracing Ernest Biner because
right,
he's one of us. And yeah, yes, he faltered in a big moment, yeah, but that happens to all of us.
Okay, I'm going to take him off for now.
All right, fuck him.
Fuck that guy. Hearing you say that makes me be like, I could picture my friends being like, what the fuck are you saying?
The way I like to put it to people is if they were going to build four statues outside the stadium and they put you in charge, but everyone knew it was your call, what would get you? What would you do?
I would do Jim Brown. Yeah. I would do Myles Garrett. You've named those. Okay, this is going to be controversial, but I feel like when I peak watched Eric Metcalf, gave me some of the best highlights of my life. I love him so much.
He was a Falcon for
a
while.
The king of the
He was like the kick return guy, like the best kick returner of all time. But
and he gave us a couple amazing seasons.
Yeah.
So just for me, because I loved him.
Hell yeah.
And then I would probably do, I think you got to do Bernie. I think Sanders. You got to do Bernie.
This is what I tried to say in 2016. Yeah.
Bernie Kosar.
Bernie Kosar, okay.
I think if you'd have told me that there would be a return specialist and it wasn't Josh Cribbs, I would be surprised. But I do remember loving Metcalf.
That one's just for me.
Yeah, that's like
that's
for me.
Not you're allowed to have legit.
You're allowed to have one.
Rushmore. Like that's legit Rushmore. Any other player on that team is more legit.
Because when you're young, a wideout or a return man is the coolest person on the team.
Oh yeah,
I think so.
They're like busting long returns and like scoring like crazy.
And there was like a year where he led the league by like, it was like he had 10 and the next closest person had 2 or something.
Yeah.
He was so fun. It's like any game could change anytime the ball was being kicked to him.
It's like Cribbs though.
I know.
Cribbs was rad.
But Cribbs might be that, but he didn't play long enough. And I'm just talking about when I was like peak watching.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I also think Cribbs.
When I had kids.
Cribbs had like the last bit of his prime cut off by the changes in the kick return rules. I think he was just like, I feel like that changed when he still had a little juice in him, but then there was so much less kick returning done.
Yeah.
Remember when they changed those rules? I mean, it's impressive that guys like Cordell Patterson have still been able to like put up the numbers after that. But like, I feel like if they had changed that a little bit later, Cribbs might have been up in that mix too.
Yeah.
God, I can't wait for these new rules.
Yeah, what is the new kick return rule again?
It's like XFL. Kevin, will you pull up the video?
That's fun.
Showing us the new kick return rule.
They're going to bring out He Hate Me to run the first one back. Yeah. What's his name? Rod Smart?
Yeah. Rod Smart, yeah.
He Hate Me.
But Tommy Maddox, now XFL you get MVP.
Sort of penalized in a sense for
new NFL
touchbacks.
Oh yeah,
I like that.
So it's like trying to coffin corner like a punter would. Like you want it to land close to the goal line, but not over.
You can, I think maybe you can fair catch it between the 1 and 10 yard line or something.
Okay,
and you can get it at the 20 if it goes into the end zone. If it's a touchback, that you get the ball at the 35.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh,
spicy.
The new norm.
When are they going to do the
fourth? Let's watch that fourth one.
When are they going to do the 4th and 15 onside kick thing, too?
All right, quick video explaining the NFL's new kickoff format with the goal being more safety, but also more returns.
We're going to the multimedia presentation.
XFL. format right. here. So
what do we got?
Kickoff still from the 35. Kicker is still over here. Big change is the alignment. These X's, the blue X's, are the kicking team's defenders, if you want to call them that, and then the return team's blockers, both on the returning team's side of the field. So all the way on the opponent's 40-yard line for the kicking team, and then just 5 yards away are the blockers. Now, the kicker, once the ball is kicked, cannot cross the 50-yard line until the ball is either touched by the receiving team or if it lands in the landing zone, which we'll talk about in a second. So the kicker would be
offside. Don't want that kicker to get a head start.
The 50 before the ball
this
lands or is in
they
play.
Put so much thought into this.
Kicking team's defenders, they cannot advance until the ball lands in the landing zone or is grabbed by the returning player, and that's when the play kind of starts here. So the goal is that you don't have these guys running full speed for 30 yards and then crashing into each other.
Right.
Now, once the ball is kicked, if the ball lands, the landing zone is where the kicker is trying to kick it, because if the ball lands short of the landing zone, right, in this area, it goes to, or out of bounds, it goes to the 40-yard line, right? It's technically a penalty. And if it goes in the end zone on the fly, it's a touchback all the way to the 35. So it really is incentivizing the kicking team to get it into the landing zone. Now, once it's in the landing zone, if it lands there and the opposing team is not touching it, it's a live ball. All right. So basically, you want to hit it in the landing zone, because if you're short of the landing zone, it's to the 40. If it's out of the back of the end zone, it comes back to the 35, with one caveat being if the ball lands in the landing zone and then bounces into the end zone and is downed or bounces out of the back of the end zone, then it comes back to only the 20. So that kind of motivates the team to not
let it
to once it lands in the landing zone to kind of pick it up. All right. So basically, the goal is more kickoff returns, but less, you know, catastrophic collisions. Also, the onside kick rules have changed. You can only you can't do a surprise onside kick. You have announce an onside kick, and you can only do that now if you're trailing in the fourth quarter. So there it is, new kickoff rules.
This feels like people seem to hate it, but where they have like a pretty good bill that you like, and then they tack one shitty thing on at the end. Like, also, we're going to make onside kicks even harder and even more impossible.
And you got to tell the other team.
That's,
that's y'all, like the give they had to get the, all the other things passed.
Hey, y'all, we about to do an onside kick. So do whatever y'all
come on out.
Get your affairs in order.
They have to do, like, an onside kick dance.
The signal.
You have to declare play action if you're going to use this. It's a cheap trick.
We're doing a flea flicker.
Don't want to fool you too bad.
Yeah.
Hopefully, eventually, we lead to doing the just doing a 4th and 20 for onside kick.
Yeah, I love that. Where you just have to pick. You have one play to pick up like 20 yards, and then you get to keep the ball.
That's fun.
Would it start on like your own 20, and then you just like if you score a touchdown on that play, you get the touchdown, right? Or did you?
I think you just convert the thing.
I think you should start 20 yards behind where you would get the ball, and then wherever you land, you just go from there.
Wow. Oh.
That's my pitch. But
that's
a
good pitch.
I don't know anything.
Interesting.
Call the commission.
No, I like that. Let the rules committee know. Greg has a good idea.
Great. So we landed on Miles, Jim Brown,
Eric Metcalf.
And who was the last one?
Bernie Kosar.
Bernie Kosar.
Right. Metcalf's not a
and
cool
we
pick,
took you took Ernest Biner out.
Yeah, and Clay
so he
Matthews,
can be but he can they can be your
they can be on Chernobyl.
Your,
there's others. If I like went back and really thought about it, I'll be like, ah, damn it. Why didn't I? I'll think later tonight. I'll like.
it'll haunt you. Yeah. A lot of our guests have gone insane afterwards.
I feel like I'll be like.
Yeah, you're going to be writing lipstick on your mirror.
Yeah.
John Gabris is at Passages Malibu.
Kevin's going to be like, you guys, Retchna's at the door? I thought we were done.
And you're like, Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yeah.
Like the end of The Graduate.
I forgot about Winslow. Tim Couch.
Oh, Tim Couch, man.
I was going to ask you about Tim Couch because that is just, that's the Madden Cleveland quarterback to me. Like,
That's the Quinn. I mean, and you thought Baker might be that, and then he was actually great, and then we did him dirty, is my humble opinion.
Is Tim Couch, though, like,
boring?
More bad, boring. But like in a bad situation, like good player, bad situation was kind of what I read, that like maybe some of his stats like weren't terrible, bad offensive line, bad weapons.
I think that was when I was a young man and learned. That was like the example where I learned the whole idea of like, you can't just throw a quarterback in on a bad team. Like, I think that was like the first time that hit home of like, you need a little bit of infrastructure before you throw them to the wolves.
And that was like early, we're an expansion team again, figuring it out again. Like it was tough.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
I think
Butch Davis? Was that the coach?
That's the coach.
Yeah.
Butch Davis.
Oof. Who also coached Miami, I think.
Yeah, he did.
Do you remember the Cleveland Browns jerseys that looked like they looked like they would be in a movie? Where the team is like, this is the Cleveland football team. Where they had like Cleveland, like really tiny Cleveland. Right here. like we're changing fanatic. The jerseys. And they look like, oh, this is what like the Cleveland team in Any Given Sunday would wear.
They're going up against the Sharks.
Yeah.
The Miami Sharks.
The Cleveland Admirals. Okay. How did Cleveland do in the draft? Who did they take? Did they have a first round pick?
They did not.
They didn't have a second round pick.
They traded out.
They had a second, so their first pick. They were the last team to pick, so they picked, I think, at like 54. And I thought they actually
they got a DL, like a defensive lineman that people like.
They got a DL guy.
He's
on the DL. Got a DL. Yeah. As soon as brother. I said DL, I was like, "That's
they got a down low brother."
I just, but I can't remember Michael something.
Sam.
Sam, his
boy, that fell right into your lap.
Michael Hall Jr., Ohio State.
Oh,
guy.
Right.
Yeah.
It was. I don't know if we talked
people
about
people were excited about him.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it on the pod with James last week, but he was one of James's like our foosballs podcast draft consultant was like one of his big sleeper picks for later.
He loved Michael Hall.
I used to be very into college football, and that's the one that's fallen off more than the NFL. So
I'm a kind of a fair weather college football.
I was like, I know our Marvis Harrison Jr.
I didn't watch enough regular season this year.
He got picked fourth.
He would get picked fourth, I didn't watch enough regular college football regular season, but I did watch, of course, I watched all the Colorado.
Look, we all fell for Colorado Fever, man. Yeah. And I had a great time.
It was a good run.
Harrison Jr. went fourth, as we said, but did Frank Gore Jr. get picked, or was he not?
He's undrafted.
He's undrafted. He signed with the Bills.
Oh, did he? Yes. Good for him.
Yeah, he signed with the Bills.
Gore was there. I mean, Gore was on half the teams in the NFL at one point, I guess, but he was a Bill.
Jeremiah Trotter got drafted by the Eagles, so went to play where his dad played.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That was some of the more notable.
I mean, the big story of this draft was quarterbacks went early and often, and we bag on Atlanta a lot last year, but I think we're going to be doing it again.
Oh my God. That was the one I was like, no.
Who'd they take?
What?
They took Michael Penix Jr., a guy I like.
Yeah.
But they took him.
Were they like, we're going to sell a lot of jerseys because that's a funny last name?
Oh. I mean, that's big.
Is it a Gamecock situation?
Yeah, it might be Penix.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I mean, we all have to start agreeing to.
Penix Jr.
Pronounce
also,
it.
Yeah, Penis Jr. is a funny it's thing to call a small penis.
It's a funny.
It's a Penix Jr.
Yeah. It seems like a funny situation.
Is that like the craziest pick since Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah.
Crazier than Mitch Trubisky.
You think so?
I mean, Mitch Trubisky was obviously a bad pick, but this, like.
Because this one, no one thought. Like, the Bears were like, you could see them picking a quarterback. Like, I'm sure there were mock drafts that had the Bears taking Mitch Trubisky. Nothing suggesting that the Falcons would go quarterback.
Right. Until, like, right before in the draft, was it Schefter came on and was like, you guys are going to call me crazy for this. I actually had the sound on, which I don't always have for the draft. But they brought someone out, and he was like, y'all are going to think I'm crazy for this, but I'm really hearing that the Falcons are interested in Penix Jr. And, like, because you're right. Otherwise, like, every part of it is crazy. They just gave a 4-year, $180 million contract to a quarterback to take a guy who's already pretty old. He's like 24.
Yeah.
He has injury problems. So like, he's probably not going to have to play right away. Then they came out at one point and said, here's our logic. This is the craziest part to me. Do you know what I'm going to say? The Falcons came out and said, well, here's our logic. We are going to be so good with Kirk Cousins, that we're not going to have a pick in the early part of the first round for several years, so we got to take a guy now.
Yeah,
and I'm like, this guy's not going to hit the field till he's 28. Are you? It's crazy.
That's crazy logic.
I do think that we talk a lot about, and like, also, CTE, I got news for you guys. And players.
No, you aren't.
You're not gonna do that. I think a lot of these GMs have CTE too, and we're not talking about it as much because that is
they're not gonna be that good.
Insane.
No,
but like they also have used top 10 picks on offensive players in 3 straight drafts, and they don't use any of the guys. They use Bijan a little, but like they obviously we talk about how little they use Kyle Pitts, how little they use Drake London, like, and now to spend a top 10 pick on a backup quarterback. And Kirk Cousins, people came out and said, like, Kirk was pretty shocked.
Yeah, he was going to happen. Shocked and upset.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he could feel emotions, he would be really, really upset.
He's going to have some couple come give him a massage.
He'll be staring extra blank.
I saw a lot of hate towards Jaden in Washington, and I don't think he's going to be that bad.
No, he went over May, right?
That was it.
A lot of people thought that May was best. So number one is Kalen Williams mm-hmm. to the Bears. Number two, Washington takes
Jaden Daniels
mm. who is very good, won the Heisman Trophy, had a fantastic year. Some people think he's a little undersized and he takes a lot of hits. We watched him get lit up last week. But like, did you see, so then Drake May goes third to the Patriots. Did you see the video of the guy scrolling through who Drake May follows?
Oh, all the white quarterbacks?
He names every white quarterback all the way down to like obscure white backup quarterbacks. He follows every single one of
Drake
them. He'll type in like Lamar, 0 results.
0 results. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Patrick M, 0 results. He like so someone's just like, oh, he'll do fine in Boston.
Yeah.
He'll fit right in Boston. And I was like, people are finding new ways. It's like digging up old posts isn't enough anymore. We got to be like looking at likes and follows and everything.
A quick little aside. Just last night, I was scrolling through Instagram and, just on the little reels. And I came across like this page. It's like only the creepiest vids or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was like just some sort of like scary, like
creepy dot caught on camera sort of thing.
Yeah. And I looked down and it said followed by Tony Gonzalez.
Creepy vids.
Yeah, and I was like sitting there, I was like, oh, I feel like a little kinship here. Like we're both kind of like watching this dumb thing dumbly together.
You're like a soldier at war wondering if his fiance is looking at the same moon.
Yeah.
It's you and Tony Gonzalez looking at creepy
only
videos.
The creepiest vids.
So then the Vikings kind of, they get to kind of mostly sit, just stand by. They move up maybe one pick. They get J.J. McCarthy. Okay. And everyone thought they were going to have to give up everything to go up to like 4 or 5 to get him. So it works out well for them. And
then crazy because then they gave up, they moved up to get Dallas Turner, which great player, good pick. But then they gave up a ton to move up to get him. Like they didn't pick again then until like the 4th or 5th round.
Yeah, it was, I mean, when I say that quarterbacks were valued more than ever before, offense too. So I think the longest the draft had ever gone without a defensive player drafted was 7 picks. And this year it went 14 picks.
Wow. Yeah.
Until who got Latu?
Colts.
The Colts got Latu out of UCLA.
Latu!
Getting the first or second best defensive player in the
That's
draft.
That's lucky at 15.
Yeah, his name can be used to sing in a curse.
But like, creepy. I thought you were singing that Indian Bollywood song, Natu.
His name is so close to the song from RRR because his name is like Leatu.
I thought you were doing the RRR song.
If you change the N's to L's, it's pretty much Natu.
You could do that too. Next time.
Someone had a great tweet about like, I love that the draft is set up to like balance the league by giving the shitty teams the early picks, and then they go do shitty team things like draft Bo Nix, and all the best defensive players in the draft end up on playoff teams.
Yeah.
It's like exactly what happened. Like playoff teams are snagging Byron Murphy II, Latu, Quinion Mitchell went to the Eagles, right?
And they got Cooper DeJean.
So they got two of the like three or four best corners in the draft on the
for
Eagles.
One of the best teams in the league.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Steelers had a great draft. I'm thrilled.
Yeah,
we
Steelers did have a nice draft.
Who'd you get?
We got a great guy who can probably be our left tackle in
Puaga.
Yeah, I confused.
We got Puaga.
You got Puaga. We got Puaga.
We got Puaga.
Who are you?
I'm a Saints fan.
Saints, right? You said. And yeah. Chiefs.
And the Chiefs got the fastest wide out in the draft to pair with Mahomes, and everyone was kind of just like, how did we let that happen?
That's crazy.
I also like the Chargers. Because they, a couple reasons. One, they're the second team in LA. Yeah. I have been here long enough.
They're the Clippers.
They're the Clippers of football. Yeah. But I hate how people treat them like, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is a weird organization. But they got Ladd McConkey. White Lightning.
Who are Ladd McConkey?
All right, wait. So I talked about this with Reston beforehand, that we might play a game where we say someone's name and you guess what position they play. And if we're going to do it, it should be Ladd McConkey. What do you think Ladd McConkey plays?
Ladd McConkey. Kind of sounds like a tight end. Wait.
That's close.
Close.
Tight end.
He's a wide out.
Oh. Wide receiver.
Pretty close.
You're very close. Okay.
What do you picture he looks like? What kind of wide receiver?
Like an elf.
Yeah, nailed it.
The elf. Yep. You got to nail
Brock
it.
Bowers.
That's why Brock Bowers. Defensive end.
Close. Tight end.
He was tight end. Yeah.
And he looks like
that is a tight end's name.
Yeah.
And he looks like the created players on NCAA 2013.
Yeah.
Like, remember when Xbox and they all had these like big blockheads? It's like, that dude doesn't look like me. He
Brock
looks like
Bowers.
That sounds right.
Okay.
So you do one more. Okay. Kool-Aid McKinstry. Oh. Spelled exactly like it's
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
The suspense.
Safety.
Close.
I mean, isn't he? No, he's a cornerback.
He's a cornerback.
He's a back.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you credit for that one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
We got
that's
him, too.
A good. I feel that cornerback safety, they always have the cool names.
Yeah, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
I was just going to say, Alabama also gave us Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and right. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Bub Means.
I don't even
defensive
know.
Tackle?
Plays receiver.
Oh.
I don't even know that.
Yeah, who's Bub Means?
We took him in the sixth round.
Oh.
We always get a good. We got Rashid Shaheed.
That sounds like an
undrafted
alcoholic cop that Russell Crowe plays. No, I'm just thinking of LA Confidential. Yeah. He's like Bud something.
Bud something.
So y'all got to steal. What do you feel about that receiver? He's the fastest player ever in the history of the draft.
Yeah.
The guy who ran that 40 at the combine. Yeah,
they got
him. What 4-2 was his name again?
Xavier Worthy.
Yes.
Xavier Worthy.
I was not super high on him going into the draft because he's very small. He's like 165 pounds. Which is very tiny for a wide receiver. But then I saw that, like, what I thought we needed the most, why I was a big McConkey guy, is we need just, like, a great route runner that can win kind of, like, at all three levels. And Worthy's speed kind of overshadowed the rest of his game, where he's, like, a pretty great route runner. The only thing is we signed Hollywood Brown, and they're kind of
similar.
Same thing.
Yeah.
That's a super fast wide receiver.
Good Lord, though. Yeah. I mean,
They'll beat people a lot.
No, I'm excited for it. I'm stoked on him.
When we did our little mock thing, he fell all the way out of the second round because a lot of people were starting to turn on him. But I feel like the caveat of that was, like, well, obviously, if you're a team like the Chiefs, he would work out if you drafted him. Like, he's going to be fine.
Also, as soon as you become hyped, people will turn on you. To me, that's like the third episode of, This
the
Is
Bear?
Us or whatever. No.
Oh, This Is
The Last of Us.
I see.
Where it was like how quickly it went from like, I love this, to be like, fuck that episode. And you're like, whoa, like, I didn't have time to watch it yet. Like, but I feel like... I mean, I don't know enough about this, but because he got all that hype from the combine, it probably feels like people were looking to be like, I'm not into it.
Teams definitely got, like, players kind of during the whole process sort of seem to kind of, their stock seems to kind of, like, go up and down.
Yeah.
And his definitely was going up right at the end there.
Yeah.
Who's all the picks? Let's talk about our prospective teams' picks. Who y'all get that you like and don't like or don't care?
So my guy that I was really...
What draft grade do you give him?
I give the Chiefs an A. I thought it was a really great draft. The guy that I was most excited for, the guy that like I kind of decided was my guy...
Kingsley?
Was Kingsley Suamataya, who I would have been like elated if they got him in the first round, and we got him in the second.
Nice.
Only had to move up one pick, so I think it's in like Greg and James, like my list of... Since I've been watching the draft, like I can kind of remember like all the guys that are like, oh, that's the guy I want to get. And maybe like only a handful of times it's happened.
Marcus Peters.
Yeah. And so the Kingsley was added to the list, and I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah. I felt great about the Steelers. They addressed tackle in the first round. I'm blanking on who was our second round pick, but it was the other thing we needed.
You guys got...
Oh, we got Zach Frazier. So I wanted us to double down on the offensive line because our offensive line has been garbage for years. And, like, obviously we've upgraded at quarterback, whether it's Russ or Fields. Either way is better than anyone we've had since the 2 years before Ben retired.
Where did Pickett get traded to?
Eagles.
He's okay. going to be the backup on the Eagles. Yeah. So, but like we couldn't block the last few years. So I feel like we've added two big cornerstones to our offensive line at left tackle and center. And then we had two picks in the third round coming up. And James kept saying they're going to take Roman Wilson, my guy from Michigan. I was excited, but then I was reading about this other guy also named Wilson from NC State who was like the fastest linebacker in the draft, which is something that we've been missing since Ryan Shazier got fucking paralyzed on the field.
Yeah.
And like we need a fast linebacker, even with Patrick Queen coming in. And I was like, I'm happy for Roman Wilson, but I'm going to miss Peyton Wilson. So then we draft Roman Wilson, and then he's still sitting there at our next pick, and we got Peyton Wilson too. So I was like,
that's always so great.
Whatever happens after that, I was like, house money. Our first four picks, I really liked. So.
Yeah.
I love Roman Wilson. I think that's a great pick for you guys.
Yeah. What grade do you give him?
I give him an A.
Yeah.
I give him an A.
All right.
We're going to be week three. We're both we're like, these guys are fucking bums.
Yeah. D minus.
We fucked up our draft again. I said it at the time.
There's no evidence I didn't.
So, of course, we went with Talese Fuaga in the first round, who I think is going to be a generational talent on the O-line.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Yep. Right.
I mean, he was the best O-line prospect coming out. Even though, or there was maybe
Alter Fashanu, but he was in the top tier.
Fashanu. People had doubts about him.
Yeah.
But
if he'd come out last year, he would have gone higher because he was coming off a better season.
Yeah.
So he was kind of still riding off those 2022 vibes.
I loved how his mom was boxing out his white girlfriend.
That was great. That did the rounds
every year.
Well, I saw someone just tweet like it's NBA draft day, and it was the picture of Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out sitting on the couch with her arm around.
Yeah,
her.
Yeah.
And someone was just like, "It's draft day again."
Oh god. And of course, in second round we took Kool-Aid McKinstry, which is very exciting. But the thing about that scares me is that a sign of Marshawn Lattimore leaving? I hope not.
They're gonna have. I mean, they gotta get rid of some money there.
I mean, we got rid of Michael Thomas. Let's get rid of fucking
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr, get his ass out of here. We're probably gonna have to lose Marshawn, so we might have gotten his replacement in Kool-Aid McKinstry. Which
he's young?
It's a fun name.
It's a fun name. Yeah. Marshawn is so good.
Yeah.
What is it? He's Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
And the running back was Marcus Lattimore. Marcus Lattimore. I had him flipped in my head.
And then we didn't pick again until the fifth round.
Which I was trying to figure out the math on that. Like, how did that happen? Where'd all the picks go? So they traded up a lot to get McKinstry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And traded up to get Fuaga. We didn't. We stayed at our pick to get Fuaga.
Yeah.
But right before Latu, we get to five.
Can't do the dance.
And I'm not even thinking about it. I'm thinking, like, Spencer Rattler still being there because it's the fifth round. Let's be honest. I'm in San Diego watching in a bar.
Watching basketball with one eye.
Yeah, and like, oh, the draft. Oh, let's see who we pick. I don't know that guy. Oh, Bub Means. you know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, cool. Bub Means. And then they go, the Saints select Spencer Rattler. And I go, we got our quarterback of the future. I am stoked about him because he is good.
He's good. There was a point where people thought he might be the number one overall pick one day.
The relative value of getting Rattler in the fifth versus getting Bo Nix at pick 12 is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's always that.
It's just value. Like
anyone you take in the fifth, sixth, seventh, that's house. Like it's all windfall if they succeed and like no downside.
It's so good.
And so like the reason like he kind of fell so much, the kind of chorus that sort of was going around was because of the Netflix show.
Mm. QB1.
Kind of being, stuff he was saying and doing when he was 16 years old was sort of being held against him now at age 22, 23. Yeah.
He looks like who's going to play Pat Mahomes in the Taylor Swift doc.
Oh, I like that.
Taylor Swift biopic.
I love that. Yeah. What a look.
He looks just like that guy.
Guys, it should be Hanford Dixon on my Rushmore. Sorry.
Who's that? I don't even know.
I
thought you were naming an actor. You wanted to play Patrick Mahomes.
Sorry. I've been sitting on it.
Okay. Who is him? Okay. Tell us about Hanford Dixon.
Okay. So he was in the secondary, and I have super dementia, so I can't remember. There was two guys. It was him and another guy, and they were like they would always run into the dog pound. Like they're like, who the dog pound's named after, kind of. They're not who the dog pound's named after, but they were like core.
Yeah, they were the guys.
They were the guys. Okay. They
never
were the
heard
dogs.
This name
what year
before?
Is it? What year
Hanford
is it?
This is 80s? 80s. Late 80s.
Okay.
Guys.
I was going to tell.
What if you look it up and you're like, it's a totally different. I have to. I'm
they say
40,
this Hanford Dixon fellow died. In...
I have two children and a brain. Look him up. And then
it
look
just
up...
looks like you and a mustache. You've been Hanford Dixon the whole time.
Am no, I, he went to Southern Miss.
Was he even on the Browns? Yes. I would not think of his name if he wasn't on the Browns. He was in the secondary, right?
Yeah, made the Pro Bowl three times, three years in a row.
And then there was like another guy in the secondary with him, and they were like...
Frank Minifield.
Yes, there was Frank Minifield, but that's not him. But they would like
jump up and Lambeau
they'd be the guys who would get the dog pound like
he
going.
Is also credited with naming the Cleveland Browns dog pound.
Great.
Oh, there you go. Wow, see, you don't have to mention
guys it. I got nervous, but he feels like he should be on the Mount Rushmore
if you name if you come up
pound.
With the name yeah. The dog yeah. pound like
great.
That's the
guys I feel
you
better.
Are vindicated.
I was gonna tell you my so our we
that's
had a,
who it should be, not Eric McCaffrey.
We had a family friend who was like our pastor who moved from the Philly area. And then we, you know, while my parents worked at the church and everything, he became a close family friend. He was a diehard Eagles fan. And so my dad, the Eagles came to play the Browns. And my dad was like, I'll get us a ticket. And like, it was like a gift or something for him. And I wasn't there. The two of them went. And my dad loves Ohio State football, doesn't care about the NFL at all. And inadvertently bought tickets in the dog pound.
Oh my god.
For him in like a McNabb jersey.
Oh no.
And then like my dad, he's like neutral, he's just wearing like Jim Beam brand stuff because that's his team.
Yeah.
At the end of the day is bourbon.
Sure.
And
same.
Like but they're like yelling, they're like obviously like going hard at this guy because he had the audacity to come sit in the dog pound in a McNabb jersey. But also, like, he's trying to, like, pull out
fan.
His, like, pastor collar and be like, take it easy on me, guys.
I'm innocent.
I'm a man of the cloth.
Yeah. Well, that's, like, one thing I've never done is sat in the dog pound, which I would like to do in my life.
Yeah, take Eli, take the son, take the boy. Show him. show him his ancestral homeboy.
I had tickets at SoFi to see the Browns a couple years ago, I think against the Chargers, and... It was a fun game, and I was like, Eli, you want to go with me? And he was like, no. So I went with my sister.
But he likes hoops, right? He likes basketball more? Or you took Rocky?
He'll watch with me.
Okay.
They'll watch. It's sort of like I felt like the way I was going to be a good mom is I was going to be a good sports mom, and neither of my kids give
just
a shit.
Not into it at all.
Such a bummer.
I just found out recently, through sad circumstances, that my neighbor's dad played for the Browns he passed away last year. His name is Harry Holt.
Oh.
You know that name?
I don't, but yeah. Cool
My neighbor's dad. Yeah, I found it out on Instagram where she's like, the funeral services will be held. And I looked at the obituary and
he had for the Browns.
Whoa.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming
Thanks
on the show.
Thanks for having me. I wasn't that useful in a draft conversation.
You were useful.
I do feel like I will sleep better having pulled out Hanford Dixon without having looked at my phone.
You won't go to Passages Malibu.
Well, I knew as soon as I said Eric Metcalf, that feels like shitting the bed.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
That's a fun answer.
That was a fun poll.
You can say what you want to say.
It's not real. We're not actually going to build the mountain.
Yeah,
we are
going to
blow up a mountain.
Yeah.
And carve Eric Metcalf's face into it.
I'm sticking to Spring.
Tell the guy, Hanford Dixon, not Eric Metcalf.
Is there anything you want to plug? I'll plug Hall of Shame if you don't, because you do have some great football. You did an episode of On the Browns called The Factory of Sadness, which is a great name.
It's a great name.
Which is what they call Cleveland. Yeah. The Cleveland Brown Stadium thing.
The factory.
It wasn't
fair.
Our clever name.
And those are all on Spotify, right? You can still listen to those episodes.
I think so.
Some football, some non-football ones.
Yeah, it's all different sports.
It's different events, like the 10-cent beer night in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Legendary.
Oh, I remember when I was a kid, there was the big Cleveland one with the bottle throwing game.
Yes. No, we have that one,
You have that as an episode, too?
Because Rachel's also a Browns fan.
Mm. She's from Canada, right?
Yeah, but so she
did the test.
But that's who she picked when she started to get to know the NFL. She picked the Browns, so I give her credit. Yeah. I know.
Poor soul.
I know.
Well, we made Drew do the test to pick a team. our friend Drew, who's from India.
Oh, yeah.
And we made him do the test, and the Browns came up for him, too.
I do think people, if you're like lost a little, they're good.
It's like,
solid.
So it's just like the sorting hat sort of thing? Where
yeah. What is the test? What are you talking about?
It's NFL. It's like, are you trying to get into the NFL? You want to be a fan of it? I think they don't put every team on there.
Right.
I think it's like.
They're not trying to funnel anyone to the Cowboys.
Like, yeah. No. Well, no, they do put people on the Cowboys.
Oh, God.
They put people, they Cowboys, like the most popular franchises.
So it's like
Cowboys, Patriots,
the Browns do have like one of the biggest, it's called the Browns backers, like one of the biggest outside of Cleveland fan.
Do y'all play games in Europe at all?
I don't think we have. Maybe once in London, actually,
I think
at Wembley.
They're really trying to push Browns over there.
Yeah.
They're trying to push Jacksonville, I know.
They're really trying to push Jacksonville.
Growing up, we were like, our teams are like the, I know it's now the Guardians, as it should be, but our teams are the Indians and the Browns. It felt very, for any brown kid growing up in Cleveland, it felt very like.
Yeah, from Indian heritage.
Yeah, my dad always went to Indians games and went, now the real Indians are here. And that was his dad joke.
And the, well, the Cavs used to be called the black guys.
Yeah.
Well, also,
the black guys.
Give it up for your black guys.
And their big player was like Brad Kudrathi. Well, Brody's thing was in Cleveland or in Cincinnati was she's Bengali and it's the
Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah,
so they love
there you
too.
Go.
Similar.
But is there anything else you want to plug?
No. Watch Shrinking? I don't know.
Yes.
Check that out. On Apple?
Yeah.
On Apple. Do you think you can get Harrison Ford to come on the pod and talk about
it? Oh. I can't imagine, but I'll try.
Oh, that's the least you can do, right?
Have him take the test.
Yeah, see what team he likes.
Yeah. I feel like he meets enough people that when I'm, because I'm not on set all the time, he's probably like, remind me. Not just because
he's been smoking pot for 50 years.
Yeah,
hey, you octogenarian legend. Here, take this test.
Yeah. I need to ask you.
And then go do a podcast for free.
You know flagrant ones, right? Yeah, of course. Well, how would you like to be on their little sister podcast?
I love the boys in Carl.
Now, you mean Sean and Hayes or Greg and Ryan?
Oh, Sean and Hayes.
He's specific. He's a big flagrant one. Hates foosball. Yeah.
That was the one thing Harrison told me because I did tell him I was coming.
Oh, he was like, will Sean and Hayes be there?
Yeah. Sorry.
That's fair. I always love Mark Hamill more.
Yeah. Thanks for being here on Monique Day.
Yes.
Yeah,
Monique/Gamecock Day.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
Right. We appreciate it. And we'll see you next week right here on Foosballs.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.